From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Project Grace. Some hear that term and imagine an exciting evolution of Wilmington's downtown area, bringing together cultural attractions such as the Cape Fear Museum, the library, shopping, affordable housing in a market that desperately needs it. Done properly, it could turn downtown into more of a destination for locals and tourists. Those opposed to the project worry about the loss of two historically valuable buildings and the environmental impact of demolition and construction. They criticize the economics of tearing down a building owned outright by the county so the county can then pay to build another one. Project Grace encompasses an entire city block in downtown Wilmington. The buildings in question are owned by New Hanover County. Today we're going to find out why some say the process hasn't been as transparent as they'd like it to be. Though the county says every single public comment goes in the record and straight to the Board of Commissioners, who will ultimately decide whether to move it forward. We'll also separate hyperbole and misinformation from fact today. Here to help us unpack the issues, Jennifer Rigby. She's the Strategy and Policy Coordinator for New Hanover County. Jennifer Rigby, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel.
Glenn Harbeck is Director of Planning, Development, and Transportation for the City of Wilmington. Glenn Harbeck, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here, Rachel.
Beth Rutledge is Executive Director of Historic Wilmington Foundation. Welcome, Beth Rutledge.
Thank you, Rachel. It's great to be here.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation during the live Wednesday discussion. What do you want to know about Project Grace? We've got the people who can answer your questions. You can call us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Jennifer Rigby, if this proposal goes forward as it stands now, explain to us what the block bordered by 2nd, 3rd, Grace, and Chestnut will become.
So if the proposal moves forward, the project is put together in three distinct phases. The first phase includes the block of on the Grace Street side of the block, and that would include an 84,000 square foot museum and library, accompanied by approximately 125 residential units. That would be the first phase. The second phase would include the Chestnut side of the block, and that includes an additional 125 residential units, as well as retail shopping. And then the third and final phase would include potentially either an office building or a boutique hotel.
Now, there's been talk about affordable housing as part of this. I've heard some opponents say, why do we need more expensive housing downtown? What is the housing going to be, those residential units?
Great question, and thank you for bringing that up. We've had some great conversations with the Zimmer Development Company about affordable housing. Through this project, we have done extensive public input, and we have heard from our community loud and clear that affordable housing is a priority. And so we've had conversations with them. They have committed to being able to provide some affordable housing within the project. The conversations that we have had have been in the 80 to 120% area median income. And what that really means is workforce housing.
Teachers, firefighters.
Exactly. Exactly. And so the exact number of units that would be affordable, that would be something that we would have to negotiate with them. So that has not been finalized.
Is there sort of a ballpark?
At this point,
like it's 10%, half, 80%, any.
At this point, it would be very speculative to commit to a particular number.
So it's been identified as a component of the project, mm-hmm. but completely undefined in terms of
right,
how much.
Exactly. That would be something we would negotiate with them.
Fair enough. Beth Rutledge, we will unpack all the reasons why Historic Wilmington Foundation is opposed to this project as it's proposed. But first, help us understand why the foundation is opposed to tearing down two not very pretty and some would argue functionally obsolete buildings. Are there any buildings in the Historic Wilmington Foundation's view that should be done away with? Or is the position always going to be we have to save the building?
I think that that would be on a case-by-case basis. But I'd be happy to address the two buildings in question. And I also just kind of want to go back a little bit and say that the Historic Wilmington Foundation has not said we completely oppose, you know, development on that block. We haven't said that at all. What we've said is that we would like the two existing buildings to be incorporated and used. We've advocated for their preservation and not their demolition. In terms of, are they attractive? You know, okay. Well, I would, you know, I could say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but I also like to say that there's more to it than aesthetics.
So let's just take one of them,
you know,
one at a time. So let's take what is now the library building first, because that's the one that people have said it's really not sound.
I'm going to talk about the historic importance, and I'm going to read from this is from directly from a letter from Hannah Beckman. She's the Survey and National Register Specialist from the SHPO. This is a state historic preservation organization. She said, from the department store's opening day in 1951 to its continued use as a new Hanover County Library, the building has been an important community asset. While the building has had several changes to the interior and exterior that appear to render it ineligible for listing in the National Register, our office does not encourage further demolition or destruction of historic aspects of the building. What we're talking about here is the historic fabric. On that block, we now only have two old buildings. And we've got some empty spaces, we have some room to play. But in terms of our history, we have only these two buildings left on the block that would encompass Project Grace. One of those buildings is one of two remaining commercial structures from the mid-century, and that's the old Belk department store building. It's a shining example of successful adaptive reuse. It was a department store. And now it's a library.
Some people would argue it's not that successful
in
terms of adaptive reuse because so much of the square footage in that building is unusable from a functional standpoint for the library.
Okay, so that's, you know, you had talked about hyperbole and fact.
Yeah.
And then there's also this gray area of interpretation. So what is wasted space? Is an atrium wasted space? The basement, I have heard, okay, the basement is damp, but the Bellamy stores all of their archives down there. I've been down there, and it isn't damp at all. I think we're dealing with a 100,000-square-foot building. If the interior is functionally obsolete in terms of how we use it, well, then let's reuse it. Let's give it an upfit. Let's reimagine how that interior space is used.
So then why has the county, as part of the current proposal, Jennifer Rigby, decided not to reuse it and adapt what it needs to adapt and upfit what it needs to upfit?
Great question. Thank you. First of all, I want to share that as we went through the solicitation process for Project Grace, we worked closely with the Historic Wilmington Foundation, and they were a great partner, and really went to the State Historic Preservation Office to help see if the property could qualify for tax credits, and we appreciated their efforts on that. Unfortunately, it did not. And so when we sent out the developer solicitation, we asked the development community, and again, this was a national solicitation process. And when we sent it out, we asked for developers to consider either adaptive reuse of the buildings on the site or new construction. And we simply did not have a submission for adaptive reuse. And I think it speaks to the importance of those tax credits that I know the Historic Wilmington Foundation does a great job advocating for.
And just addressing that, as a non-taxpaying entity, the county cannot use the rehabilitation tax credits. So nor can the county sell the property to an entity who rehabs the building and leases it back to the county, because that's a disqualifiable lease. So the tax credits don't come into play here that much. They would come into play if a total third party were to say, no, you know what, we want to buy that library and we want to, you know, make it into, you know, a retail space. They can qualify for that. But in this area where we would be, the county would be renting it back, it wouldn't even qualify.
So just to be clear then, on Historic Wilmington's foundation position on that particular building, you would advocate for gutting it down to the metal and the concrete and then rebuilding inside. That's
the most important thing, really, from the standpoint of Historic Wilmington Foundation, really is at this point, it's the exterior. The interior has been played with quite a bit. There's not much original that's there that's visible to the naked eye. Anything that would be original, obviously, we would like to keep. But when it was made into a library, everything prior interior was all changed for that upfit.
So you are looking to preserve the exterior of the building.
Correct.
Glenn Harbeck, we're going to have to go to break in a minute. Yeah. But as one of the members of the committee that's involved in giving input to the county on this project, what exactly is your role and how much input do you have? And you can answer that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Coastline. It's a close-up look at Project Grace. With us today, New Hanover County's Jennifer Rigby, Wilmington's Glenn Harbeck, and Historic Wilmington Foundation's Beth Rutledge. When we come back from this break, we'll also hear from some listeners. You can reach us via email on this Wednesday at coastline@whqr.org or call us at 910-343-1138. You're listening to Coastline. Listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today we're sorting out fact from fiction when it comes to what the new Hanover County redevelopment project known as Project Grace could mean. We're also finding out why preservationists are opposed to the project as it's currently laid out. With us today, Beth Rutledge. She's Executive Director of Historic Wilmington Foundation. Jennifer Rigby is Strategy and Policy Coordinator for New Hanover County. And Glenn Harbeck is Wilmington's Director of Planning, Development, and Transportation. To ask your own question during the live Wednesday discussion, you can call us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. So Glenn Harbeck, before we were so rudely interrupted by that break, you were about to tell us what your role is on this committee that interfaces with the county and what kind of input you have.
Thank you, Rachel. Jennifer contacted me, maybe 18 months ago, and asked if there would be anybody in the city that would be interested in serving on an advisory committee for the project. And I said, well, I might be interested. So I volunteered, and I think it's Ed Wolverton and I with WDI and myself. We're the two folks that are not necessarily part of the county organization that serve on that advisory committee. The city's role is really one of development review, regardless of what form the project might take, whether it's a demolition and reconstruction project or a partial demolition or a full adaptive reuse. The city has development review authority over it. The property is already zoned Central Business District, which is pretty much a wide number of different uses can go in a Central Business District. So that's not the issue. If I could provide some context for the project, in my entire career as a city planner, I never would have thought we would see the reversal of migration to our central city again. For the last 70 years, we've been leaving cities and moving to the countryside. And I like to say now that the best way to preserve the countryside is to build a better city. So whatever happens with the Grace Project, whatever happens in the block between 3rd, 2nd, Grace, and Chestnut, we hope that it will be building a better city. And that is one trend, certainly, with we're anticipating another 60,000 people in the city.
You're saying that this reversal of the post-World War II trend to spread out, where people went to live somewhere else and then they would commute to a job and go shopping elsewhere, that's now reversing so that people are shopping and recreating and living in an urban space.
Right, and that's proving to be problematic. The biggest problem, one of the biggest problems we hear nowadays in Wilmington and New Hanover County is traffic. And so there's also an expression that you can't pave your way out of congestion. So this project also checks another box in that it is a mixed-use development. It's proposed to be a mixed-use development, which means that we don't have the traffic problems associated with this project that we would with a separated use project out in the hinterland somewhere. This one really could be accommodating residents, accommodating businesses, accommodating two county facilities, a museum and a library, all on one site without really adding to our traffic issues. So it checks that box. It also, the highest priority that we heard from across the city during the development of our comprehensive plan was we want to make Wilmington more walkable, more things within walking distance so we don't have to rely on the automobile for everything. So again, this project meets up with that objective as well.
So Gareth Evans of the Bellamy Mansion also, I think, opposes the project as it is, as it's currently proposed. And he asks, how do 240 brand new apartments fit into historic downtown Wilmington when the economy depends hugely on heritage tourism? And Glenn, I'm going to put that to you because you are the director of planning, transportation, and development for the city of Wilmington. So how does this fit?
I think the strength of our downtown, and I think Ed Wolverton would probably echo this, the strength of our downtown comes from its diversity. We shouldn't be just dependent upon tourism and visitation, and we shouldn't be dependent on just one kind of industry or one type of housing. The downtown has proved itself to be incredibly resilient by decades of change, but it always seems to survive. And again, the more if we're going to be having 60,000 more people in the city, projections are by 2040, the more we can accommodate without dependency on the automobile, the better. So we have 10,000, the latest estimates I have anyway, we have 10,000 people downtown every day, whether it's the shop owners and business owners and restaurateurs or whether it's the people coming to visit the downtown or going to Cape Fear Community College. We have 10,000 people downtown every day, and we don't, contrary to what some people might say, we don't have a parking problem downtown. During Azalea Festival, the fireworks celebrations, Azalea Festival type situations, yes, but on a daily basis, we have parking available all day long and all evening long.
So help us understand, because Beth Rutledge of Historic Wilmington Foundation has said her organization doesn't oppose the project itself or the redevelopment of that block. They just oppose tearing down what was the old Belk Beery building, what is now the New Hanover County Main Library branch. So why not alter the proposal? And Gareth Evans also asks, the State Historic Preservation Office recommends the county not demolish the library, so why is that being ignored? So why wouldn't the county say, hey, let's just gut it, keep the exterior? Why is that not a viable option, Jennifer Rigby?
Well, I think the simple answer is that that was not the proposal that we received. Now, the more complex answer is we have conducted a space needs analysis for the library and for the museum. That was done to give us accurate data on exactly what type of space is needed for these two facilities to provide superior service for the future. The space needs analysis really came back with three findings. The first was that there was a lot of space within the existing library that was underutilized. The second is that the existing Cape Fear Museum needs additional space. In fact, we identified about 12,000 square feet of additional space that the Cape Fear Museum will need to continue service for the future. And so providing that space for the library and the museum is something that we feel is important within this proposal, and that simply it cannot be accommodated in the existing library without major renovations and without an extension to that building. We would have to add probably about 20,000 square feet of space to that existing library. And I know those numbers seem a little confusing because out in the public is 100,000 square feet of space. However, that is not space that is designed for a library. Space that's designed for a library is in the 65,000 square feet. That's the usable space. So we would have to do an addition to the existing library.
Beth Rutledge?
It is a library, though, and it's functioning as a library. I want to address the first thing that you said about, you know, maybe sort of the short answer being that we didn't receive that proposal. As you all know, one of the major issues that people who oppose the project have is that there's only one proposal that was received. You know, even if you're doing work on your home, you usually try to get, two or three estimates. This is something that's supposed to serve the county for generations, hopefully. If you only got one answer, ask for more answers.
Well, so let's find out. Why move forward when you get just one proposal? Does that not raise red flags?
That's a very fair question, and I think that's an important question. When we put out the development solicitation, this project is a very complicated project. It involves a number of elements. And when we put out the solicitation, we did a two-part process. The first was a request for qualifications. And this RFQ was written and distributed nationwide. And the purpose of that is to select the most qualified firm to do the project. So really, it is more of an elimination process. We did not want to receive proposals from folks that could not deliver a project. And so we received two statements of qualifications, and then we invited both of those teams to submit a full proposal. And one of them chose to submit the full proposal.
We have an email. Claudia writes, I've asked a lot of people what they think of this project, and not one was in favor of it, let alone see any benefit to the citizenry. The idea of tearing down the existing library and the Cape Fear Museum. I want to stop there. Don't usually take apart people's emails, but that is misinformation right there. The Cape Fear Museum, which is currently on Market Street, Jennifer Rigby, that will not be torn down. The museum function will be moved to this new location. But what's going to happen with that building?
Thank you for clarifying that. That's a very important point, is the existing Cape Fear Museum on Market Street will not be torn down. In fact, the county has developed a plan to reuse it as a research campus. We have a fabrication component to our museum services. We have the collection component to our services, and we want to highlight that. Currently, our collection is in the basement, and it is not accessible to handicapped citizens. And so what we want to do is pull that up out of the basement and make it more accessible to our community and provide the space for our collection.
So Claudia goes on to say, from what I understand, these are solid structures with character. So there are two buildings right now that will be torn down, but not the Cape Fear Museum. Rather than spending far less to upgrade both facilities, this seems bizarrely wasteful and harebrained. Colorful language. But Jennifer Rigby, I want to be really careful about this, because what you've said is this will actually cost more. If the county were to preserve the current library building, it would cost the county significantly more. Is that your assertion?
That is correct. We can repurpose the existing library, or we can repurpose the existing Cape Fear Museum, but the cost associated with that is significant. And so the county has to make the decision, do we want to invest in these facilities, or do we want to start fresh and invest in a facility that is designed for its intended use?
And right now you're talking about between $20 and $26 million for the whole project. And we know that number will go up, because that's what we've seen happen over the last decade or so.
That's correct. That's a back of the napkin estimate on what we think it could cost.
So, Beth,
$26 million is for what?
For the existing Cape Fear Museum.
Okay. Where are the numbers that we're talking about for the library? Where is the, it's going to cost X numbers to give it an upfit and to rehab it versus tear it down and build two new buildings? Where are those numbers?
Again, those are the back of the napkin numbers that our property management department has run to give us an idea of what we could expect if we were to demolish or repurpose those buildings.
Is it a fair assessment then to say reusing or upfitting the existing buildings is more expensive?
I think that is a fair statement to say that it could be more expensive.
But
we are not, the way that the new proposal is framed, we are not confident in the exact numbers of how much that cost will be.
So
we would have to go through a negotiation process. And so it's preliminary to know.
So is it fair to say then that Beth's point, which is, we don't know for sure that it would cost more.
We don't have numbers either way.
Is that
fair? We haven't seen, you know, how much is it going to cost for an upfit? We haven't seen how much is it going to be to tear it down and build new? No, those numbers have not been made available to the public.
Okay, fair enough. And you're saying, Jennifer Rigby, the county is not at that part of the process where it would know. You can't do a side-by-side comparison
right
now.
That's correct.
Okay. So let me move on to another email. They're really starting to stack up here. Don writes, are you familiar with the 5 years and counting of history of the city's River Place project? For Project Grace, what lessons, if any, related to the River Place project will be conveyed so the current selling points of Project Grace do not become the smoke and mirrors that have been experienced with other joint ventures between municipalities and developers? Glenn Harbeck, do you want to tackle that? Because what I think Don is referring to is the continual escalation of, you know, the city starts out with $53 million for the River Place project in 2014. And then it goes up to, and these are Don's numbers, I have not corroborated these, but then he goes up to $75.5 million in 2015. And, you know, it continues to escalate. So his point is that going to happen with this?
Well, I would probably want to differentiate between what I think might be some misinformation. I don't recall ever seeing a number as low as the first one you mentioned.
Okay.
I do know that since 2014, 2014 to 2019, he did mention the 5 years. If you talk to any contractor in town, any builder, the cost of materials and labor across the board for public sector projects, private sector projects, streets, utilities, just about anything that you put a pencil to 5 years ago is not the same number that it is today in 2019. I gave a presentation to a whole group of contractors and engineers just before the end of last year, and their biggest concern was not finding labor. They can't get decent labor at any cost. There's just not enough coming through the tech school pipeline, if you will. And so it's really high on their list. I read the Home Builders newsletter just last week, and they were also talking about cost of labor and materials. So that doesn't surprise me that the cost is higher than it might have penciled out originally, but I don't see what else is being said there.
I think what he's saying is the public was told that River Place would cost a certain amount of money, and that was what the city of Wilmington approved. And then the city of Wilmington had to go back and amend the money that it appropriated for that project because the costs went up so much. And I think that's part of the narrative, is that material costs skyrocketed. It was harder to find qualified labor for that. Nobody's disputing that. So I think what Don is saying is, how do we know that the cost for this won't quadruple over time as this unfolds? Jennifer Rigby.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I'd like to share that the structure of the River Place development, the financial structure of it, is a little bit different than the financial structure of Project Grace. So the structures are a little bit different. The second thing I would like to point out is that the city has been a great partner. They've been involved with conversations about Project Grace from the very beginning, and they have been very helpful in sharing lessons learned, things that went really well within their project, and things that we can all learn from. And so that would certainly be something that the county would be looking for, to make sure that we were setting up the county to make sure that we were in the financial interest of our citizens.
And when we come back from this break, we're going to find out what we do know about how the county plans to pay for this. You're listening to Coastline. It's a close look at Project Grace, which encompasses a Wilmington city block in the downtown area. You can ask your own question on this Wednesday either by calling us 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. And when we come back from this short break, we're also going to find out whether the library space is actually being shrunk or not. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Project Grace is New Hanover County's proposal for the redevelopment of a Wilmington city block bordered by 2nd and 3rd Streets and Chestnut and Grace in the downtown area. If the current proposal moves forward, it would unfold in three phases, building new spaces for the downtown library, moving the Cape Fear Museum from Market Street to the complex, creating retail space, affordable housing, and possibly office space or a hotel. Opponents say the demolition of historic buildings is unnecessarily expensive and a misguided move for a city with a historic downtown ethos. Supporters say the project helps make the area more of a destination for locals and tourists alike. Glenn Harbeck is Wilmington's Director of Planning, Development, and Transportation. Jennifer Rigby is New Hanover County's Strategy and Policy Coordinator. And Beth Rutledge is Historic Wilmington Foundation's Executive Director. You can ask your own question on this Wednesday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. We've got some emails and some phone calls stacking up, so we'll do our best to get to you. Jennifer Rigby, how will this be funded?
Thank you for asking that question. That's a great question. And the interesting piece of this particular project is that through a public-private partnership, the funding could come through the private investment on that site. So right now, the entire block is owned by the county, as you mentioned previously, and we collect no tax revenue on that particular project. By creating this mixed-use development, we're able to invest in the public facilities and have a direct revenue stream from the private investment to offset that investment.
So the developer, just want to make sure I understand this, the developer would then own the building?
The private investment the developer would own. The public investment, the museum and the county, that would be determined through the negotiation process, whether the county determined to do a long-term lease or whether the county determined it was financially advantageous to purchase through a condo agreement.
So, sorry, I'm still struggling with this a little bit. So you're saying that it's possible the county would own the land. The county would still, no, the county would not own the land. The county, we don't know what the county would own.
So, and I think this is where things get a little bit confusing for folks, because we have not negotiated a development agreement. The items that could be negotiated are whether the county sells the entire block or whether the county sells the air rights, like the River Place project, whether the county purchases the museum and the library, or whether the county does a long-term lease for that. So there's some different negotiation points that have not been determined at this point.
Fair enough. So if the county decided to sell the real estate, so the county didn't own it, and the county determined it was going to lease back what it needed for the library and the museum, it would still pay for the construction.
No, not necessarily. The county could sell the entire land. The private developer could construct everything, including the library, including the museum. And then the county could determine whether or not we were going to lease the library and museum or whether we would purchase the library and museum.
Fair enough. Does that make sense to you, Beth Rutledge?
It makes sense what Jennifer is explaining. Does it make sense financially? To me, not at all. We already own the library, but now we're being asked to tear it down and pay for it again. That doesn't make much sense to me.
Jennifer Rigby.
I think the issue is that we know we're going to have to make some investments in our library and museum in the future. To be able to provide library services and museum services for the future, which our community is so passionate about. And so in order to do that, we need to make investments, and determining exactly how we do that.
And so from the county's point of view, even if Project Grace was completely scuttled, there would still need to be an outlay for the museum and for the library.
Exactly. There would. And the benefit of Project Grace is that it creates a revenue stream through this private investment to help pay for those investments.
Now, I want to get to just an element of Diana's email, because we've addressed this already in this discussion, but this keeps coming up. She is asking lots of questions, but why the county is shrinking the library space, why the county is shrinking the square footage. And Jennifer Rigby, it's your contention that with this proposal as written, it would actually expand library space.
Yes, it would. And I know that seems a little counterintuitive. The library building right now, the floor plates are about 100,000 square feet of space. Now, that includes space for the atrium, that large stairwell that everyone walks into, that includes that. Well, we know on the second floor that's not usable square footage. It also includes the elevator shafts and other stairwells and so forth, that it's just not usable space. The actual usable space of the library is somewhere in the 65,000 square foot range. It also includes the basement as well as our administrative offices for our library director and administrative offices. that facility or the administrative services would be relocated to our Northeast Library. And so for the actual library services that we provide.
You're talking about the branch on Military Cutoff Road.
That's correct. So for the actual library services that we provide to the public, it would expand the public space in the new facility.
And yet, Beth Rutledge of Historic Wilmington Foundation, you still argue it's shrinking the space. Help us understand that.
Well, it is. I mean, even you go from 100,000 square foot footprint, and even with the assertion that, you know, yes, there's space that isn't being used and that there's office, you know, there are offices, there's, you know, the atrium, there are elevator shafts. An atrium and elevator shafts still have to exist in the new building. 100,000 is bigger than 42,000. So there, it simply doesn't add up to say that a new, smaller building is, you know, just the same as the space that we have. It just doesn't add up.
So you're not considering usable space and space that is being used. You're just looking at the number.
Well, it just by the numbers, because like everyone else, I haven't actually seen a plan. I also would like to note something that a couple of people have talked about, which is that Wilmington is getting bigger and it's getting, you know, there are more people who are coming downtown or living downtown and enjoying downtown. And I think New Hanover County might be the third fastest growing county in North Carolina right now. I'm not sure. If we're really thinking about providing services for our city now and in the future, why would we downsize? Why wouldn't we work with what we've got and reimagine that interior space?
Fair enough. And I think it's time for us to take a phone call. Diana from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I am concerned that I think Ms. Rigbeek said that they considered RFPs from all over the country, but I received an email from the county that said the only kind of RFP they asked for was combining the two properties, not looking at them separately. Second, I don't understand why we would ever think of just stopping the growth of a museum. History is happening daily. And the museum already has artifacts they can't display. So why wouldn't you just grow the museum where it is and continue to make it grow with the history?
Okay, so let's tackle those two questions. Those are two good questions. Jennifer Rigbee, are we confusing the request for qualifications with the request for a proposal here in terms of tell us how you reached out again to developers?
So in terms of the developer solicitation, again, the county has taken a very deliberate and thoughtful approach to putting together a solicitation process. And that's really where we invited the city to come in and participate on our evaluation team, Wilmington Downtown Inc., and we had individuals from the county from different disciplines to put this together. We did a significant amount of public input back in the fall of 2017, and during that time is when we developed the criteria for the request for qualifications. At that point in time, the criteria was for the museum and the library to be co-located on the downtown site. And so that decision was made at that point in time. That's the solicitation that we sent out in a nationwide search. And so that's why we received that type of proposal.
Fair enough. Go ahead, Diana.
Enough. Yeah. It's not fair enough because we don't. I was at those meetings. Other people were at those meetings. We begged them not to do this. And then they decided to only ask, and that's why we don't have anything to compare right now. They only asked for co-location, and we have nothing. I mean, Rachel, you asked how much would it cost to renovate each place. They don't have the numbers because they didn't ask for the input.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer? I mean, in the history.
Let's let her address
this.
So
in terms of the co-location space, I want to talk a little bit about the space needs analysis that the county did. There are a number of services that our library provides and our museum provides that can be enhanced by being located adjacent to one another. Our space needs analysis outlined approximately 8,000 square feet of space that can really enhance the service. And so, that can be shared. And in terms of enhancing the service, from the county's mission and the county's vision about ensuring these services are enhancing our community, I want for the viewers to think about the fourth graders that come to visit our museum, and they learn about people of the past in the Cape Fear region. And it would be great if these students could participate on these field trips and then also be able to go to our Carolina History Room in our library, do a little bit more research about their favorite historical figure, and perhaps check out a book on it.
You're making a case for this, which I get, and you did a space needs analysis, mm-hmm. which you've explained. But when you have a cohort who comes to you and says, "But we want the county to look at it this way," mm-hmm. Under what circumstances would you say, "Okay, we don't agree with that, but because a certain percentage of the population wants to see it this way, we'll do it"?
Well, that's a great point. I'd like to mention that even though we are hearing loud and clear from some individuals that they're opposed to it, we're also hearing loud and clear from some individuals that they are supportive of this. I'd like to point out that our museum advisory board, this is the advisory board that's appointed by our county commissioners, and our library advisory board are very supportive of this project and co-locating these facilities. Those are boards that are appointed, that are citizens, their purpose is to advise our county commissioners on how to provide these services. And so their opinion is very important to us, and we're hearing loud and clear that they are very supportive of this project.
There are empty lots on Project Grace that could be used for new construction to incorporate the existing buildings.
For example, like what kinds of new construction? Are you saying add-ons to the building?
I'm saying that, if we're talking about affordable housing, or we're talking about adding on part of a museum, there is existing land to do that, and we absolutely could work with the existing buildings that we have, too. The county owns the entire block, so.
And we have an email from Jessica who asks, has an estimate of the minimum requirements for repairs necessary to keep the museum building functioning been conducted? Could the storage needs of the museum be accomplished by using space in the third floor of the library? Jennifer?
That's a great question. The third floor of the library has some structural issues associated with it. And so, no, it could not be used to accommodate the museum collection. In terms of the museum space, again, we would need to add probably about 12,000 square feet to the existing museum to make it functional for the future.
Paul from Wilmington called in and said, why the need for these historic buildings that aren't really historic? A belt building, auto care center? Craig says, I find this proposal objectionable for many reasons. It's a solution in search of a problem. What's wrong with keeping the current museum and library? It's also a giveaway of property owned by the taxpayers. Finally, downtown Wilmington has almost no public park space, destroying just renovated Story Park while creating private green space for future residents is a slap in the face to those who visit and live downtown. Tom says it seems both the library and museum require extensive rehabilitation and usable space. Will this construction provide state-of-the-art space for these uses, including free parking to be continued? Will there be parking? We've also gotten some calls asking mm-hmm. about buses stacking up.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit about the parking. The parking structure, the county's done an analysis of the parking structure on the block. It's currently at about 61% capacity, so there is additional space within that structure for additional cars. We could also restripe the loading zone as well as the entrance ramp, and we could gain an additional 40 spaces that way.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Jennifer Rigby, Beth Rutledge, Glenn Harbeck, thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Coastline's producer is Rachel Keith. Technical director is Ken Campbell. Production manager is Caitlin Hanrahan. Caitlin Freund is our webmaster. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at WHQR.org. Get the podcast, find it on the HQR app, or just tune in for the rebroadcast Sunday afternoon at 2. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.